I wanted, I tried to think of what I wanted to use, well, what I should use this morning for Father's Day, and I want to use some scripture that's very familiar to you. First of all, I want to use some of the words of the Lord that are very familiar to each and every one of you from the book of John. Whenever that Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." As I thought about that, the part that I wanted to talk about is, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, how many of you here have sung the song, and how many of you here have read this scripture and believe you've got a mansion in heaven? Anybody? A lot of you. Well, okay. I hope you're not disappointed, because he doesn't say that you have a mansion in heaven. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, maybe you're going to have a mansion, and maybe you're not. So I hope that you who have probably, and I think this again just goes, I think, to point out how easy it is for us to get in that mode of thinking. I've heard preachers get up and say, you know, "We sing that song, 'Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land, and I'm not going to have a little cabin over there. I'm going to have a mansion.'" Well, I hope they're right. I may settle for a tent. Frankly, I'll settle for whatever I get, because it'll be all right. It'll be heaven. But we sometimes read in and read out of things that we want to. I want to share a little bit about our Heavenly Father. Joyce spoke briefly of him this morning. I try to tell people all the time that, you know, the Lord delights in blessing us as his children. I think it grieves him whenever that we disobey him, and whenever that we are required to be punished. I do not think that he finds any happiness in that whatsoever. And as a parent, as a father, I can assure you that probably I should have punished mine more than I did, but I never found any enjoyment in having to punish my children. And I know there were times that they deserved it. But the reason I know that is because that I know from my own experience there were many, many more times that I deserved to be punished by my mom and my dad than I ever received. There's no question about that, because I know me, and I know some of the things I did and some of the things I have done that certainly were not what would have pleased them had they known. And even sometimes I think when they did know, that they probably were a little more lenient than they should have been. So as much as we like to think about the Lord of and the God of love and mercy and on and on and on, he also is a God sometimes that has to administer some correction to us. Now, you don't want to call it punishment, you call it whatever you want. But I want you to know that he still loves us in spite of everything that we may do wrong. And so this morning I want to use the scripture of the prodigal son. And I want to look at it in just a little different perspective than what we usually do, because usually when we talk about the prodigal son and we use that scripture, we're focusing on that son and his behavior, his life, and we forget about maybe just the father. But I want you to listen very carefully, and I want you to keep in mind this morning the role of this father in the story of the prodigal son. And this is out of the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. And he said, and this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now, I want you to notice that this father had two sons. And one of the things that I think that is important that we understand, and you all know this right up front, is that these two sons were actually very opposite in their behavior, in their lifestyle, in the way that they lived, the way they thought. We, as God's children, get so hung up on everyone thinking like we do, behaving like we do, and doing everything just like we do. We want them to do that. That's our expectation. And when there's someone who's outside of what we consider to be the norm, but they've got to be wrong. You know, we are right. We are right. Now, granted, we don't come out and say that, but that's the way we're thinking, and that's the way we're living. And for the most part, we forget that there are more ways to get something done than the way that we think it should be done. We need to understand this morning that people are different, and they're going to do things differently. They're not always going to do things that please us. And we are not always going to do things that please everyone else. And so sometimes, even with our Heavenly Father, as much as we would like to justify our actions or our lack of action, we need to understand that He is our Heavenly Father. Now, the Bible says that this one son, the younger of the two sons, came to his father and said to him, give to me that which is mine. In effect, what he's saying is, I want you to give me my inheritance now. And it's important that we understand that that's what happened. And the reason that that's important is that we're going to find out later that there's some accusations which are made that are incorrect. We sometimes only see a little bit of something that's going on, and we base our judgment on what little bit that we see or what little bit that we know, and many times we take then and we presume a lot of things that are not actually fact. I started this morning by saying, how many of you think you have a mansion in heaven? And I believe you weren't sincere in that. I believe that's what you thought, that's what you've been told, that's what you've heard preached. And I may be 100% wrong. Every single one of you may have a mansion. It may be something far more fabulous than anything that we even imagine. But we base this idea, I think, much of the time on this particular scripture that I quoted to you, that when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, that we make the assumption, well, that's what they're going to be, and that's for us. But he didn't say that. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, we could tear that all to pieces and you can come up with whatever you want, or you can just take it at face value and say, you know what, I don't care what that preacher says, it's going to be a mansion. It's just like some of you say, I don't care what that preacher says, those angels sing up there. So far, I've never found anything in the Word of the Lord that says that it was an angel that ever did sing. So I'll just challenge you on that one. Now, I'll let you have your opinion on the mansions if you want. But I'll take you to task with angels singing every time. We as the saints are going to sing. Don't you doubt that. Well, anyway, I don't want to get off on that. I already get you all riled up about that. The father said, the Bible says that the father then gave to the son that which was rightfully his. Gave to him, he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, would you keep that in mind? That's what the Bible says that happened. This son took what the father had given him. He went away. He took off and he left. I can relate to this. My father didn't give me my inheritance whenever I left, but I took and went away. and I've wasted a lot of years. There's a song that we sang, used to sing, I don't know whether we sing it anymore or not. Oh, the years in sinning wasted, could I but recall them now? I would give them to my Savior, humbly to His will I'd bow. Must I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet Him, must I empty-handed go? Oh, the years in sinning wasted is the first part of that. Sometimes we waste a lot of years, we waste a lot of time. This young man went and wasted what he had been given, the Bible says, in riotous living. What is riotous living? Well, now, what might be riotous living to you might not necessarily be riotous living to someone else. I didn't say righteous, I said riotous. Kind of like my mom used to say to me when I was, first time that I was preaching, I preached about filthy lucre. And that's what the Bible calls money, lucre. Mom said, son, she said, you got up there and you was talking about filthy lucre. She said, that's liquor. I said, now, Mom, that's not liquor. There's a difference in lucre and liquor. Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible just merely says that he wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Now what's happened? Who did he think about? He thought about his father. Thought about home. He's been out here. He's wasted everything he had. He's been brought down to the very depths and the pits of the lowest of human beings, and so far as his people were concerned, because he's now out here feeding the hogs. And when he comes to himself, he thinks about his father, and he thinks about home. And he says, well, the servants back there in my house have more than enough, and I'm down here perishing with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I want you to see that picture. He said, I'm going to get up from this hog pen, and I'm going to go back to my father's house. I left high and mighty. I left with a pocket full of money. I left with everything that was rightfully mine. And I've gone out here and I've wasted it. And now then, I'm in need, I'm in want. But my father's servants have more than I do. And I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he got that picture in your mind. And he arose and came to his father. I'm going to put in right here what my opinion is. And that's all it is my opinion. I do not believe there had been a single day since he had left that his father hadn't thought about his son. I really believe. Communication wasn't like it is today. We can know where a person is that quick for the most part. But they didn't have that means back in that day. And so his father may not have known where he was, what he was doing, or the life that he was living. But I'm confident that his father had not forgotten his son. The Bible says he arose and he came to his father. Now, he didn't just say, this is what I'm going to do. He did something about it. And that's a problem many times people get in today. They know, we know what it is that we need to do. We many times know that we need to get right with our Heavenly Father. But knowing it and doing it is two separate things. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I'm convinced, Joyce, that his father had watched that road, and when he saw this son coming, he saw certainly a different son than what had left there. His son had left there pretty proud, pretty cocky, pretty sure of himself as to what he was going to do. Yeah, he had everything he needed. He didn't need his father any longer. He didn't need that home any longer. He was ready to go out there and make his place in the world. Let me tell you something. There's not a single one of us here this morning who don't need the Heavenly Father. And we need him every day of our lives. We can't afford to not have him in our lives. And whenever that we get away from him, we are no different than this prodigal son is that we must get back to him. But it's interesting to me that the father, when he saw this son coming, I'm sure he smelled like the hog pen. I'm sure his clothes were filthy and tattered. But it didn't bother this father. The Bible says his father saw him coming and he ran down the road to meet him. Threw his arms around him and hugged him, kissed him, and was happy to see him. Don't you think for a second that our Heavenly Father isn't happy whenever that one of his come back to him. There's rejoicing over those that go astray. There is rejoicing in heaven whenever that one who has gone out into the world of sin realizes their lost condition and makes their start back to the foot of the cross. And I'll guarantee you by the word of the Lord, none of them ever get to the foot of the cross and what the Lord isn't there to meet them, our Heavenly Father. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. See, he didn't stop. His father already had indicated that he was welcome home. He was happy to have him back. But I will tell you this morning that the son did exactly what he had said he would do when he was down there, whenever he came back and his father threw his arms around him. He said, I've sinned against heaven and thy sight. No more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. This father gave the best. As our Heavenly Father has given the best for each and every one of us. God gives us the very best of everything. I get so upset sometimes whenever that we want to treat God like a mediocre. We want to just kind of half give to him of our lives, of our talents. Whatever it is, we need to give him the very best. God deserves the best from every one of us because he gives the very best. And in spite of the fact that this son had done all the wrong and been just so disappointing, I'm sure, to his father did not even realize at this point in time what all this son had done. Our Heavenly Father knows everything that we have done, every single thing. But his father loved him. And he fell upon his neck and he kissed him and hugged him. He said, you bring forth the best robe. Don't go in there and just get some old garment out of there. You bring the best we have. Put it up on him. Put a ring on his finger. Yeah. Put shoes on his feet. Then go out here and get the fatted calf and kill it. And bring it in here because we are going to rejoice for this my son. My son was lost and is found. Now very quickly, watching the clock. Remember I said there were two sons. Now I want to talk just very briefly about the second son. The second son had stayed at home all this time. He had continued to work here on the farm for his father. He had been a faithful son. He had done everything right. And he had been blessed. His father had in effect, had said to him, you know, whenever the son comes in here, now he's going to come in and he's going to get all bent out of shape. That's not unlike some of God's children today. But the father said, you know what, son? He said, everything I have was yours. It is yours. You know, I've not withheld anything from you. Now keep in mind, the younger son had gotten that which was rightfully his. But the father said, everything else has been yours. It's yours to this day. Now, why did he say that? Well, the older son, when he came and he heard all of the shouting and the rejoicing that was going on up here at the house because his younger brother had come home and they were just having a big party, he came up, but he didn't come in. He's too upset now. What's going on up here? And one of the servants tells him, why, you know, your brother's come home and they're rejoicing over him coming home. Well, it just ticks him off. He's madder than hops. Yeah, well, I've been here all the time. Boy, if this isn't hypocritical, as a lot of times I see out of people today, well, I'm a lot better than that. Yes, you are. But I'll guarantee you one thing, as good as you are, I'm as good as you are. And as bad as I am, you're probably about as bad as I am. There are none of us that are good when it comes to the eyes of God. We all fall short. This old boy, he's mad, he's upset. He won't even go in and talk to his father. So what does the father do? What a good father would do, he goes out to the son to get him calmed down. Yeah. My father had four boys. None of the four of us were alike. I've always said he had one that, in his eyes, could walk on water. He had one that could never do anything right. He had two somewhere in the middle there. But I want to tell you something. Every single one of us were different. I'm convinced he loved all of us. Never heard him say that. Never heard him say that. This father goes out to his son and he says, son, what's going on? Why is this that you've gone and made such a big to-do over this, your son? Not my brother. Your son. That went out here. Let me get this right. I want to be sure that you understand. I want you to hear what the son says. He says, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. He went out here and he's wasted his living with prostitutes, harlots. That's not in the word of the Lord. That's not what the Bible says he did. But that's what this son thought. He thought that was probably the worst thing that father could have heard. Do you know how many times that we take and we embellish what we want to make things sound worse than what they really are, or better than what they really are, instead of just being very factual about it? He said, this thy son, you know, your son, not my brother, your son has gone out here and he wasted his living, his substance with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Can you believe that? That's what you would do, something like that. I can't imagine. Let me tell you something. Every single one of us this morning, if you do not have the courage and you not have the ability from the depths of your heart to say thank you for the father I had, I don't care whether he was the meanest man that you ever thought lived upon the face of the earth, he was still your father. He's still your father. And the Bible says that we ought to honor our father and our mother. And I believe that. Leal, I'm going over and get some Old Testament now for you. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Yeah, honor thy father and thy mother. But more importantly is that we remember that we have a heavenly Father who has been very forgiving of every single one of us. And though your sins may pale in comparison to mine, he forgave me of the sin of unbelief just like he did you. And he has forgiven me many times for things that I was not deserving of his forgiveness for. And I'll never be able to repay him for that. But let me assure you this morning that I am still his son. I am still his child. As you, who he has redeemed by through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And we should be thankful today for a heavenly Father who is able to deal with each one of us in our individual capacity.